This is the Adam Gold Show.
That theme is ESPN's hockey music. Big stories about that at the start of the hockey season because ESPN is back in the hockey business. Linda Cohn has never left the hockey business with ESPN. In the Crease podcast, ESPN NHL reporter, Sirius XM. She's everywhere. I listen to her all the time, whether she likes it or not. Linda Cohn joins us. How are you? By the way, I thought you would be fourth on the Hurricanes goaltending depth chart if it got down to it.
Yeah, thank goodness former Ranger great Auntie Ranta came through in flying colors. So you guys are in good shape. Although and by the way, Adam, thanks for having me on and the lovely intro. But, you know, a lot of people are asking me, who do I like in this series? And of course they know I grew up a Ranger fan and sure. Still kind of wave the pom poms at times. But I mean, if you had a healthy Freddie Anderson, I would feel less confident in the Rangers' chances, with all due respect to the goalies you do have, because he was a difference maker, this year. Yep. So, and he hasn't been back on the ice yet. So,
nope.
That would be a concern.
Yeah, look,
Carolina.
And he played three times against the Rangers and was excellent in all three starts. Ranta has not played against the Rangers. The last time these two teams met, it was Pyotr Kochetkov, the Russian rookie who played, down the stretch. Ranta did play the final game of the regular season to sort of get ready for the playoffs. Ranta's been really good in the playoffs, though. 927 save percentage. So he has been really good, especially when they have needed him early in those Boston games. I thought Auntie Ranta was really good. What did you think of the Rangers? Let's start from the Rangers' point of view real quick. What did you think of their series with Pittsburgh? They sort of, I don't know if they caught a break or not, or a few breaks in terms of player personnel, but I think they were kind of lucky to survive that.
Yeah, I'll be honest. They caught a break. When you don't have Sidney Crosby there and he comes back in game seven and he wasn't himself, obviously with a reported concussion, and he's got a history of concussions, you can just tell he wasn't Sid being Sid. And he was red hot before, his collision with Jacob Trouba. So that was a huge break. But, this is the postseason and injuries do happen. And the Rangers took advantage of that. It could have gone the other way with one of the Rangers star players, mm-hmm. but this time it did not. Their resiliency is what, impressed me the most. They, as everybody knows, they were down in the last three games against Pittsburgh on their way to coming back from a 3-1 series deficit. That's never been happened before. The Rangers for two or more goals in each of those three games came back to win the game. But what scares me, and the Rangers are well aware of this, they don't even need to tell them that, is that the Carolina Hurricanes are a team that doesn't happen against. Like, you can't come out of a hole against the Carolina Hurricanes. I don't have to tell your listeners about that, their incredible record regarding once they have a lead, after the first period, after the second period. It is just total dominance. They just don't blow leads. I know the postseason is different, but that would be a big concern of mine for the Rangers. But the Rangers, Adam, are already ahead of schedule in their reboot. We knew there was a good chance they were going to make the playoffs. And Igor Shesterkin. See, that's the thing. They're goaltender. As I mentioned, you guys not having Freddie Anderson. Igor Shesterkin will be the only reason why the Rangers could pull off an upset here. He played amazing in Game 7. I know he was shelled twice in Pittsburgh, but that's part of the maturing process for a young goaltender. And I'm sure the Carolina Hurricanes fans, even though they're a nice group, I'm sure they'll continue with the Igor chant. That's the Penguins fans, do that because it can't hurt. It can only help them, they would think. But Igor Shesterkin now knows how to handle that. And we'll see how it goes. But, man, this is going to, if you thought their regular season matchups were close and tight, and, I just think the Rangers know what they're getting, Carolina. And by the way, they know what they're getting in Auntie Ranta. Again, I mentioned he was a former Ranger for multiple years, one of the most well-liked players. What a great guy. I don't have to tell you that, Adam. Just a great human. But most of these Rangers, if Ranta has weaknesses, they know him.
Sure. No, there's no question about it. And frankly, like 25% of the Hurricanes roster are former Rangers, whether it's...
Correct.
We talked to Brendan Smith yesterday. Jesper Foss, Brady Shea, Tony D'Angelo, who's had a great year.
Great first round. Yeah, great year. Boy, is he going to get paid. You know, I mean, listen, he's polarizing. I get it. But if we're just talking about what he does on the ice, that has never changed. The guy was always a difference maker, always highly skilled. And, you know, he's going to have a big payday when, no matter how this season ends up for the Carolina Hurricanes. And, yeah, I'll tell you, that's going to be interesting because, you know, Ryan Reeves of the Rangers, he's going to be looking to mix it up to get D'Angelo off the ice.
That's the element of this series. Like, Carolina just dealt with Boston, and I know Boston was trying to get under D'Angelo's skin, and it worked in Game 4. It didn't work. Right. It didn't work in Game 6, even though Carolina lost in Boston. Didn't work in Game 3. It worked in Game 4. The funny thing is that D'Angelo has been more the under control, settle everybody down guy over the over the first round of the playoffs than anybody would have expected. He tried to keep Vincent Trocheck from losing it in Game 7. I think if Tony stays under control, he's such a much better player than anybody here thought he was going to be.
Yeah, and I'm just, you know, I'm happy for it. You know, you just kind of root for guys to get second chances, mm-hmm. and kudos to the Hurricanes to give Tony D'Angelo that. And he is thanking him with his play, not only during the regular season, which helped the Canes win the Metro, but, of course, here in the postseason so far. But this is a really big series for Carolina. If you, you know, when you look at it on a national scope, the Canes can't afford to lose a series to the Rangers. That would be a step back. They need only to push forward. They need to beat the Rangers. They need to get, you know, to at the very least the conference final. It's really true because of what they've been doing and how they've been building this group over the past few years under Rod Brind'Amour and company.
Yeah, here's the way I think you're right, and here's the way I look at these things. To me, it's a breakthrough as an organization when you are expected to win. And, you know, Vegas, and you pay attention to these too, the Hurricanes are a pretty substantial betting favorite in the series.
Yep.
I think it's a closer series than that, but the Hurricanes are a substantial favorite in that. But when you are expected to win and then win, so in other words, you're dealing with the pressure, to me, that is the sign of a rival. So I think you're right. I think the Hurricanes do need to win that series. And I think you're right about the Rangers and that they're ahead of schedule. What has been the biggest difference for them? Not Chris Kreider's 52 goals, which is just amazing. He's been awesome. But what about the other players that have kind of, especially in the second half of the year, kind of emerged as guys the Rangers can count on?
Yeah, I mean, congrats to Chris Drury, you know, the GM. He made some big time trades, getting postseason type players at the trading deadline. Andrew Kopp, to me, from Winnipeg, has been that kind of guy. Boy, he had a great second half of the season, and he has played big in the postseason, just like Chris Drury knew he would. Other guys like Tyler Mott, who is now kind of like getting involved, got involved in the last couple of games against the Penguins, Frank Vetrano. You know, these are the kind of pieces. You know, the Rangers are missing a really important guy who is great in the postseason, Barclay Goodrow.
Right.
They got him from the Lightning before the season began because of his success with the Lightning in the postseason, but he is hurt. People are forgetting about that. That's a big loss for the Rangers, but I mean, Drury got all the right pieces, but it's always going to come down to the big boys. And that means the guys that came through against Pittsburgh, Mika Zibanejad right at the top of my list, who did just that. And then Panarin, finally, as I'm tweeting out, shoot the puck. My God, shoot the puck. He finally shot the puck and he scored the game winner. And then, of course, as I mentioned earlier, Igor Shesterkin. He is going to have to play out of his mind to beat Carolina because, as you know, Adam, man, the Hurricanes can roll four lines and everybody is lethal. Everybody can put the puck in the net. It's a scary group. The key for the Canes, if you would ask me that, like what would be a big reason or a reason why they could fall to the Rangers if they take too many penalties.
Yeah.
they're always guilty of that. They're such a highly skilled team, but they take too many penalties. You can't put the Rangers on the power play. But the best thing to happen to Carolina is that they went to seven games against the Boston Bruins, that they didn't destroy their first round opponent. Mm-hmm. I really mean that. That was scary for them at a couple of moments. I knew they already had the series. I knew they would figure it out. But I think that really helps the team, which is why, because Colorado, if you move to the West and how they devoured Nashville with their goaltender, UC Soros, out.
Yeah.
It wasn't even a fair fight. I think for them, they have high expectations. The playoffs start for them right now against the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah, that's a great series.
And I'm glad for Carolina. They had a little bit of a scare because that's only going to help them realize how tough this is and remind them how tough it is.
All right, I want to pick series with you, but one quick thing about going to seven with Boston. I think Carolina had to overcome mental block is not the right thing, but Boston was one of the teams that had ousted them. They'll have the same problem if it ultimately comes down to them and Tampa, if they get that far. But Boston was that final hurdle. A couple of years, or not final, but that won that hurdle that couple of years that they had to overcome, and I think there was a little bit of that in play. We'll leave the Hurricanes-Rangers series for last. So since you mentioned St. Louis, Colorado, who do you like?
Full disclosure, before the postseason began, before the season began, I picked Colorado to win the Stanley Cup. I did not do that in previous years when a lot of people in our business were picking the Avalanche. I didn't think so, but I thought this year they had their life lessons in their disappointments and postseasons past, especially last year. And so I picked Colorado to win the Cup and Nathan MacKinnon to be the Conn Smythe Trophy winner. But up against St. Louis, house money, still a big group there from the core group that won the Cup in 2019. Colorado's winning this series, but it's going to go seven. I just feel, as I mentioned earlier, you go from Nashville, an undermanned, bad goaltending team without UC Soros, to a Colorado Avalanche, St. Louis Blues team who's getting good goaltending from Jordan Binnington right now. And so I think this is going to go seven, but I like Colorado.
Yeah, I also think it's a long series. I like the Blues. The Blues are actually a more dangerous offensive team, I think, than Colorado.
Yeah, they were when they won the Cup. That's right.
Just incredible. They have 9-20 goal scorers. Just incredible. Linda Cohn is with us. Let's the Battle of Alberta. Who's still alive? Who's still alive when that series is over?
Oh my goodness! If people, casual sports fans, casual hockey fans here in the States, you have to understand. You have to stay up late. Mm-hmm. You have to watch every one of these games. This is going to be. It's going to check all the boxes for you. It'll have everything. And it has Connor McDavid.
It does.
And, oh, my God, there's so many storylines here. The biggest is the rivalry. This was a tough series for me to pick. But I want to go with Connor McDavid. I'm being selfish. I just want to see more Connor McDavid as long as I can have him in the postseason. So I'm actually picking the Oilers in six. I'm really hoping the 40-year-old Mike Smith in goal remains ageless. Just don't give up a bad goal. Just stop the ones you're supposed to stop. And we need Leon Draisaitl to be 100%. Yeah. I don't think he's 100% right now, which scares me. But I do love the addition of Evander Kane. And they have this, let's prove people wrong kind of mantra. But, man, Calgary can be so dangerous with the guys that can put the puck in the net. Led by an inspired Johnny Gaudreau, who's going to get paid. This could be his last year in Calgary.
I remember when he was absolutely going to be traded in the offseason. I'm going to take the Flames, but it's also Elias Lindholm, former Hurricane, I have a soft spot for. All right, Battle of Florida. We have the Battle of Edmonton and the Battle of Florida, which in many ways just doesn't seem to fit, but these are two of the best teams in the sport. In the Lightning, two-time defending champions, and the President's Trophy winner in the Florida Panthers. Who you got?
Yeah, I was watching Game 7 with the Ranger game with my daughter. Back in the day, my daughter and I would go to a lot of MSG, big playoff games. So we sat on the couch here in Southern California, where I live now, with her, and we were watching that. And I was telling her about the playoff matchups, and she's like, "Are you kidding? Like Florida and Tampa have the two best." teams in the National Hockey League? And I go, yeah, pretty much.
Yep.
Except for Colorado is like amazing. So who do I like? I think it's the Panthers' time. Even though I picked the Lightning to beat Toronto in seven, and I was right on the mark with that, I did so because of the goaltender, because of Andrei Vasilevskiy. It's the only reason. But the Lightning are not going to have Braden Point. This guy is such a warrior. He tried to play through a multitude of injuries in game seven. The Lightning won for him. He's not going to be available for the Lightning. And I just think the Panthers, Jonathan Huberdeau and Alexander Barkov didn't even have great series in the first round. So Carter Verhaeghe carried them. I think it's going to come down to Sergei Bobrovsky. Can he change the narrative regarding his play in the past, in the postseason? I need Bob to be big for Florida to win, but I'm going out on a limb and saying Florida in seven.
All right, so far you and I are on opposite sides all three times. I'm going to take Tampa.
Everyone.
All right, and finally, Rangers in how many, Linda?
I picked that. Adam, you know me oh so well. Listen, I go with my heart here. What could I say? But I do say Rangers in seven. And I know that would mean winning in Raleigh, but I got a thing for goalies, and if it's going to happen, it's going to be because Igor Shesterkin got him that way, even with the Igor chance. I think it's going to be Rangers in seven, but you know what? I'm not going to be crying if they lose to this Carolina team, because you know what? If they lose to this Carolina team, I mean, who wouldn't want to see this team go all the way to the final?
Yep. I certainly agree with that. And all goalies stick together. It's obvious. Linda Cohn, former goalie. I'm going to take Carolina in three.
Just like I knew you would.
Linda Cohn, you're the best. I appreciate your time. I know you're going to enjoy this series. You're going to enjoy all of them. In the Crease podcast, SiriusXM. She's everywhere. And hit her up on Twitter at Linda Cohn. I thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Adam. Enjoy the hockey, everybody.
We will. Take care. Linda Cohn from ESPN. Christine Brennan, USA Today columnist, joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. And you wrote about Greg Norman and the LIV Golf series a little bit, and that's going to get us into this conversation because, you know, we have this thing in sports where the amount of money is the only thing that matters. And all of those other things generally don't. But so let me just ask a broad brush question about that, and then we'll get back to it. Mm-hmm. Is this about anything else other than rich people getting richer?
Well, that's certainly a big part of it, Adam. It's great to be on with you again, of course. The issues are always fascinating, and to be a part of your listeners' lives for a few minutes. I think in the case of the Saudi Gulf situation, and it's, of course, Greg Norman, Phil Mickelson, you've got Sergio Garcia, a couple other people, Bubba Watson, apparently others are toying with this, wanting to, you know, test the water, et cetera. It's also control. The PGA Tour wants to control them. And you know, I guess we would say Major League Baseball or whatever would want to control if all of a sudden there was a rival Japanese league, baseball league or something that were, or Canadian league or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, without the political, minefield that this has, with it being Saudi and the killing of Khashoggi, et cetera. You know, I still think there'd be the issue of control. I think, you know, you'd have Major League Baseball saying, and of course you have people under contract, so like, we're talking here of independent contractors, more or less, but there's still contractually obliged to be PGA Tour players. So when you've got someone like Phil Mickelson saying, I'm going to do all this other stuff, well, no, you're not. And whether he was suspended or not, obviously, you know, he had this exile now that continues, including the PGA, where he's the defending champ and won't be there, which is really weird, but put the right decision. So there's control and there's the rich getting richer for sure. But that's, I guess we're seeing that kind of butt heads, right? You know, the MLS to make more money. And in this case, the PGA Tour saying, no, you're here. You go there. We're not going to give you the waiver. We're not going to allow you out to do that. That doesn't shock me. I know there might be people out there. How unfair. They don't let these guys do whatever they want. Are you kidding? These guys made so much more money and changed their lives and zillionaires on the PGA Tour. And again, the greed and I think we should say that word, mm-hmm. Greg Norman, for any of these other guys who want to go and be in bed with and be in business with the Saudis. It's being called out around the country, around the world, and I'm glad it is, and I was happy to be a small part of that.
Christine Brennan, USA Today, is joining us. Lee Westwood, who's probably going to be a part of this as well, longtime European tour, stalwart Ryder Cup hero, all of that, talked about, and he brought other sports into it, whether it's Formula One, or the fact that the, and this is not necessarily Saudi, but the fact that the World Cup is going to be played in Qatar. We all know about the human rights, you know, issues that Qatar has, or Qatar. I apologize for the Qatar lobby out there. How do we avoid, like, looking at all these other sports? This is not even getting into China yet. Without saying, well, they're doing it, therefore it must be okay.
Right. Obviously, these are countries in the world and their fan bases and untapped markets, right? So companies don't seem to have a lot of concern of doing anything anywhere. And I know we'll get to China, but obviously, you know, both that we've had two Olympics in China, 2008 Summer Games, 2022 Winter Games. Of course, I've been at both, where it's abhorrent that they each one happened. But of course, a huge part of it is Coca-Cola. Are you kidding? You know, 1.3 billion Diet Coke drinkers, Coca-Lite drinkers, yep. Whatever. 1.3 billion McDonald's, Big Mac eaters. That's a big part of it. So yes, I don't know that we should ever be surprised at the lack of morals and ethics of corporate leaders who probably at the kitchen table demand that of their children and then go and do this to make more money. And I'm a capitalist, so I'm all for making money and having people have the opportunity. I'm also all for people having consciences and saying no when they should say no. Yes, you've got, you know, people have been saying, well, the LPGA plays in Saudi Arabia, or I guess that's where they play. I hadn't even really researched it. Well, that's one tournament. That's not a whole league. I think you can split hairs here. The LPGA, I would, if I were a golfer, I would never ever play in Saudi Arabia and take their money. I think the LPGA should be out of Saudi Arabia.
Right.
I think I'm a big fan of freezing out Putin and the Russians, especially now. Not only the doping, of course, which was seems like small potatoes now, even though it's horrible compared to, of course, the horrors that have been unleashed on Ukraine and the attack on a sovereign nation. So I would just say, just, you know, boycott these places or avoid them. And the bans on some of the athletes, I think, are fine, too. I do, because there's a greater power and a greater, more important good in our world than whether an athlete plays in one tournament or one event. So, yeah, it's an issue. I certainly call that out, China and the NBA and LeBron a few years ago. So, you know, I do my best, and I think we all do our best. But these guys aren't going to get much sympathy. Lee Westwood, as you said, Sergio Garcia, Phil Mickelson, any of the others, they're not going to get much sympathy. And especially terrible because of the comments from Phil Mickelson, which he had to apologize for, and Greg Norman, which he, of course, I don't even know what, you know. So it's such a bad PR climate now. And these, you know, two very famous men, Norman and Mickelson, saying the worst possible things. They have certainly made it even worse then for these guys who are trying to go and take what I call blood money from Saudi Arabia.
Real quick to the IOC thing, because I think that the IOC has proven over the years to be completely backwards in the way they treat, whether it's bringing the Olympics to China in and of itself, or the way they have tried to kind of retroactively deal with Russia. And this is even before what happened with Ukraine, when they had all more egg on their face again. Like, they never dealt with the doping problem. They were always willing to take Putin's money and push, you know, allowing the athletes to participate, but no flag and no anthem. What does that mean? We all know where the athletes are from. Like, if you're going to have some morals, at least have them.
Right, exactly. Well, it was a joke. As you know, I was there covering it, writing columns, exactly what you just said, asking specific questions of Thomas Bach, namely Peng Shui, that issue, which, of course, trotting her around and helping the Chinese whitewash that horrible issue, the world's biggest Me Too issue. I asked Thomas Bach specifically about that. And he goes, well, if she wants us to investigate, no. You're the leader. You investigate. But of course they didn't, because it was their friend China. The allegation about Feng Shui was a very, very serious one, that she had been sexually assaulted by a former Chinese leader. Instead of investigating, instead of helping her, instead of showing the world that, yes, here she is and she can talk to the WTA, the Tennis Association, still hasn't done that as far as I know. The IOC comes in, makes it all easy and fun and no problem for their Chinese buddies. They're in bed with China as well, of course, because of all the fact of two Olympic contracts and the millions and millions, billions of dollars that's being exchanged. And it's just horrific. I think the only good news here for both Saudi Arabia, the issue with Greg Norman, Phil Mickelson, et cetera, and the just the horrendous lack of morals of the IOC in being in China twice, giving Beijing, I mean, the ultimate, indignity that now there's one city, Adam, as you know, that has hosted both a summer and a winter Olympics. It's not LA. It's not, I mean, that'd be hard for LA for the winter, but it's not London. It's not Berlin. You know, it's not Tokyo. No. It's Beijing. China has had that gift. China's got that historical, notoriety now. It's just awful. And to point that out and to continue to point it out is what I do and have done. And folks can easily find all those things. Just Google Bach and me and USA Today. And this brushing off the genocide of the Uyghur population in China. I mean, it just went on and on and on. It was horrendous. And I'm looking right now at a lead I wrote, the awfulness of the International Olympic, of the awfulness of IOC President Thomas Bach was on display for all to see Thursday evening at the Beijing Olympics. And that was my lead. And I will continue to do that, as others have as well. And of course, the real reason, if we go back down to like brass tacks here, right? Beijing got, because I'm sure people are saying, why in the world was Beijing hosting the 2022 Winter Olympics? Not even a winter city.
Right.
Well, it was 6-7 years ago when they decided that, and Norway pulled out. Norway was the front runner for 2022. Perfect, wonderful Norway, right? They hosted the 94 Olympics in Lillehammer. Anyway, the Norwegians said, no, we're not adding hotels. We're not building more roads. We're not messing with our environment by cutting down trees. No. We don't want any of what you're asking us to do. We refuse. Go jump in the lake. And Norway withdrew. That left the IOC with Beijing and Almaty, Kazakhstan. They had to pick Beijing.
Yeah.
And so that's part of the problem. And that's one of the reasons when you saw Paris and LA going for 2024, Paris got 2024 Summer Games. Immediately, the IOC gave the 2028 Summer Games to Los Angeles, because they said, wow, we've got great cities. We're not going to get involved with and have egg on our face the way that 2022 thing happened. So no excuse here at all. That's why we were in Beijing. We should have been in Norway if not for the opulence and the excesses of the IOC and the Norwegians correctly calling them on that.
Christine Brennan, we'll leave it there. I appreciate your time. Thank you so much. At C. Brennan Sports, columnist, USA Today, and keeper of the keys of what's right. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Adam. You have a great day, and thanks so much. Always an honor to be on your show.
Before we get to the rewind, it's always cool catching up with Christine Brennan. We haven't even talked about PGA Tour or the PGA Championship tee times yet, have we, Dennis?
We have not. Off air, we actually mentioned
you
something.
And I talked about it off air. So, catch this.
Okay.
Opening round trio. Actually, opening two round trios. Off the 10th tee at 9:11 a.m. Eastern Time.
All right.
Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy.
Okay.
Jordan Spieth.
Okay. They should have their own channel dedicated to just them and their 18 holes.
That is 22 major championships in the same grouping.
Goodness.
Get out!
That's stacking the lineup.
I'm not even sure who I feel worse for.
I think that's awesome. Here's the thing: as a fan or as a casual golf fan, for me, that's perfect because I get Tiger and two of the other best guys all at the same time. Sure, I'll tune in.
Just incredible. Let's see. Also playing together, Hideki Matsuyama, Xander Schauffele, Tony Finau. After that is at 7:38 a.m. Central Time. So 8:38 a.m. Eastern Time, I guess. The next group after that, Tyrrell Hatton, Bryson DeChambeau, Max Homa. Homa's a sneaky, interesting pick to win. Victor Hovland, Will Zalatoris, shouts to Wake Forest, and Cam Smith. That is a great, great group. And let's see, somebody, when I tweeted out the Woods, McIlroy, Spieth trio, I got a response. That group, and then in the afternoon, Harold Varner III, Jason Day, and Ricky Fowler all playing together. I think Harold Varner III might be the best player in that group, first of all. He's had a very good year.
Shout out ECU.
Shouts to ECU. Shouts to Gastonia, North Carolina. I hope he does very well. He has, again, he has had a really good year. So there are tremendous groups out there. Trying to think. I've written down a couple of others. Scotty Scheffler, John Rahm, Colin Morikawa. They're playing essentially opposite of where Tiger, Rory, and Spieth are. So that's the featured group in the other wave. Dustin Johnson, Patrick Cantlay, Justin Thomas are also playing in the afternoon on Thursday. It is next major of the year. Step up. See who's going to win it. By the way, Max Homa at plus 5,000. Sneaky good pick for a multiple winner already this year on tour.
This is the Adam Gold Show.